Rogers Parts Specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa know-how.
The locally owned UPS store in Houma does much more than shipping. They offer a wide range of products and services to help and support small business owners and individuals. The UPS store in Houma offers packing, shipping boxes, large format printing, banners, shredding, faxing, and more. The UPS store is your one-stop store for business and more. Located on Martin Luther King Boulevard across from Chick-fil-A in Houma. Check them out on Facebook.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Saturday, and what else could it be but the Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center's Community Sports Institute. And now, your hosts for today's show, Stan Gravois and Casey. I'm a Dallas Cowboy. Just Claire, take it away, Casey.
That's an awesome intro, Joey D. You're listening to the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Casey and Stan and Joey enjoying our Saturday morning, and I think that you guys are going to enjoy your Saturday morning as well.
15 minutes, we have South Lafourche football coach Blake Forsyth on the line. He's going to talk about his team's spring practices. They played a spring game against Chalmette. He's going to give us a rundown of how that went and talk to us about Tarpon football. In 30 minutes, we're going to have a coaching legend on the line, literally a coaching legend, Pete Jenkins, a longtime defensive line coach at a lot of different schools around the country. He's going to talk to us about his football camp coming up, and also I'm sure we'll get to squeeze in a couple of questions about his time at LSU and time coaching some of the wonderful players that he's coached throughout his career. Another gentleman who's coaching some wonderful players right now is Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill. The Terrebonne team has some of the hottest prospects in the country, and they're fresh off of a set of spring practices where they went on and took McDonough 35 on. It was a scoreless 0-0 ball game, and now they're moving on to their 7-7 and all their summer stuff. We're going to have Coach Hill on to talk about some things the Tigers are looking to get accomplished here in the next couple of weeks. At 11 o'clock, top of the hour, we're going to have Justin Payne, former Nicholls State University women's basketball assistant coach. He's now head coach out at a Division II school in Georgia. We're going to give Coach Payne opportunity to shout out his new gig. And then I know he's been recruiting heavily in Louisiana. So, heck, if you got a young lady in your household that is playing some high school basketball, you may want to listen at 11 o'clock, get some highlight tape out to Coach Payne out in Georgia. And 11:15, Shane Trosclair of Thibodaux High School Baseball will be talking about his first year at Thibodaux High. I know they were brutally young. They're going to be back and ready to rock and roll after missing the playoffs last season. So Shane Trosclair at 11:15 is actually going to be kind enough to spend some time with us. Was he and the wife are in New Orleans getting a little brunch date with a couple of friends. He's going to walk away from the table for a second and join us at 11:15. But Stan, it has been a fun couple of weeks here on the show. We had the baseball game last weekend, and I know you're doing some CPR stuff this morning. Tell us about some things that's been going on with your gig that you've been excited about, my friend.
Well, I hope it kind of slows down a little bit as we head into the summer. Of course, you mentioned it, the big all-star game last week. That went extremely well, and thanks to everybody involved with that. This morning went out to one of the recreation districts over in Terrebonne Parish, and they have a big camp going on, so those counselors needed a little counseling as far as healthcare goes, and taught them a little bit about first aid and those things that go along with it and how to take care of the kids. It's really fun to get out and do this. And as a matter of fact, the guy who runs recreation there, and this was Recreation District 2-3 over in Terrebonne Parish, followed me out and said, "Do we owe you anything for this?" And I was like, "No, this is kind of our outreach. It's what we do." And all those years that I was in education and teaching and coaching, I always felt, obviously, that it was noble and it was a great profession. But even now that I'm away from that and still sort of teaching, quite honestly, it's been fun because you feel like you're giving back to the community, and that's what we're all about. So it's really been a fun end of the year, but it's been a very hectic end of the school year. And I look forward to a little relaxed time. The only thing on the horizon for us, you know, over at TGMC is we have the big induction ceremony for the Bayou Region Hall of Fame. and that happens on June 20th. It is a 6 o'clock start over at Cypress Columns in Gray, Louisiana. And a very good class going in this year. Very, very excited about this class going in. I'm sure we'll talk about that more as it gets closer to that date. But over the last 2 years, it's been a really fun occasion, and it's a labor of love. And I'm fortunate enough to be one of those guys who's involved in putting together these little 12-minute videos pertaining to each of these guys who are going in. And when I say guys, I'm not being, you know, gender. It's women and men. And when you're putting together these videos, you realize it's more, it transcends sports. It's about these people and their lives and what they've done in the community and what they mean to the community. So it's been a lot of fun, and I can't wait for that to happen. Again, June 20th.
Two things about this year's class. One, I was not aware that there was a local professional bowler. I thought that was awesome whenever I saw that. Kudos to you all for honoring that, excuse me, that gentleman. And second, shout out to Coach Morgan Johnson. She is, a lot of folks don't realize, you know, locally we understand, you know, hey, she did great things with Vanderbilt softball, and people don't understand how good of a softball player Coach Johnson was as well. So kudos to her.
You're exactly right. And let me tell you, she sat down for an interview as we were putting a video together, and obviously it's her talking about basically her life. And she said something that I thought was, and I definitely kept it in, because sometimes they sit and they talk for about 20 minutes and you got to cut it into like 10 minutes, mm-hmm. right? And she made the comment when I said, so these state championships, tell us a little bit about that. And she said, the biggest thing is people think they're easy. There's nothing easy about it. Get this. In 24 years of coaching at Vanderbilt Catholic, she won 7 state championships and was the runner-up 6 times.
That's unbelievable.
So that's 13 years out of 24 being in a state championship game. That's really amazing. Then, get this, which a lot of people don't know. She lettered in both volleyball and softball at McNeese State at the same time for 4 consecutive years.
Wow.
Get this. While she was playing softball at Vanderbilt Catholic in her high school days, she won 4 state championships as a starter from her 9th to 12th grade year. And get this, while she was playing at Vanderbilt, she was part of a team that had a 112-win game streak. So there are so many things. You know, you may look at it and go, well, okay, so Margaret Haydell's going in. Yeah, she's going in because she was really, really special. And I'll add one thing. She actually, in 1986, playing volleyball, so people don't equate volleyball with Margaret Haydell Johnson. In 1986, she had 49 digs in a volleyball game against UL Lafayette.
That's insane, man.
49. So she has a record there for digs. And if anybody who doesn't know what volleyball is about, that's the grunt work, you know. That's doing the tough stuff. So
that's insane.
That it really is. And when you look at the people who are going in, you mentioned Avery LeBlanc, who is actually from Houma, lives in Plano, Texas now. He's a 1962 graduate of Terrebonne High School. This guy was on the PGA bowling tour and was the senior tour leader in money in the mid-90s. And a lot of people don't even realize that, how good he was. He was on the PBA tour for 40 years of his life. He's in like 7 Hall of Fames in bowling. So it does get the word out about people we just kind of took for granted or we maybe never even heard of.
I'm still shaking my head over here. You just say that Vanderbilt softball had a 112 game win streak.
Yeah, and you know, she was the first one. She gave Coach Gerald Albert, and I saw footage of it. And for you people who say, yeah, but back then it wasn't what it is now, I got to tell you, I saw the footage. It is. That, you know, the girls were coming with her. Of course, Vanderbilt had a young lady named Michelle Broussard who was extremely good and was 88-0 in her high school career. But that all being said, it was really good softball back then. So they were playing with the best of the best.
So give us a rundown, Stan. Who else is in the class here?
So the remainder of the class, Clarence Verdant, graduate of South Terrebonne High School of 1980, went on to USL at the time, and was good, obviously, with the Cajuns there, and then went on to the USFL, and the guy who he credits with a lot of his success was the quarterback, Jim Kelly, who took a liking to him.
Okay.
And went on from there, won a Super Bowl ring with the Redskins in 1987, and then 2 Pro Bowls. He was a Pro Bowler in 1990 with the Colts, and again with the Colts in 1992. Again, Clarence graduated in 1980 from South Terrebonne. Johnny Meads, a 1979 graduate of Assumption High School, went on to Nicholls State University, then was drafted by the Oilers in the third round and had a nine-year total, eight of those with the Oilers, where he was very good, 159 total tackles in 119 games. He's the guy who took over for Robert Brazil. For anybody who remembers the great Robert Brazil at linebacker for the Oilers.
Monster.
Jay is the guy who came in. Johnny came in and took over for him. And the reason I say Jay is because Jay is the guy who's also being inducted. Jay went to Nicholls State University with Johnny. So they went at the same time. So they have a commonality there. Jay went on to play in the USFL for the Jacksonville Bulls, and then from there played for the Oilers. So these two guys who both played at Nicholls State University are living right near each other in Sugar Land, Texas, playing for the Oilers for their careers. And, of course, Jay was the center, and the quarterback was Warren Moon, and you had Bruce Matthews, and you had Dean Steinkuhler, maybe the best offensive line ever in the history of the NFL with Jay right there at the center position. I graduated high school with Jay. He's a terrific guy, a really nice guy, now lives in Missouri City, Texas. So he'll be back for the induction. And finally, one posthumous inductee, and that's Melvin Johnson Jr., a 1973 graduate of South Terrebonne. And in 1973, he actually had the fastest 220 time in the nation. And for you people who are going, what is a 220? In those days, you ran yards. You didn't run meters. So the 220 was the way of them kind of equating 200 meters here in the United States. And again, he had the fastest time, along with his 4x100 relay team, which had the fastest time in the United States. He went on to the University of Colorado, had a very successful football career there as he was an all-state football player at South Terrebonne. And just the saddest, probably in our 3 years of hosting this, the saddest story ever. He was playing with the Kansas City Chiefs, went in for a routine wrist surgery, something that they thought was very minor in Kansas City, and was obviously sedated, put under whatever the term may be, and never came out of it. Went into a coma. So died in 1980 there in Kansas City. Came back to Chauvin, Louisiana, where he was buried in one of the biggest funerals ever in Terrebonne Parish history. Lamar Hunt was there. Marv Levy was there. Everybody, the entire Kansas City Chief team came in to Chauvin, Louisiana, more specifically Smithridge. For any of you familiar with Terrebonne Parish, there's a little community called Smithridge. So, and if I ever had a childhood hero, you know, I was born and raised in Montague, and he was right over in Smithridge. It was him. I was a little kid in my formative years, and everybody wanted to be and see Melvin Johnson Jr. So, and when we did his video, his mother and father came in, and his brother, who actually had a great tenure in the NFL, was there. And when they spoke about the person he was, it was great. But then his relay team from South Terrebonne, that was the nation's best, Ricky Britt and Herman Verdan, who is still alive, they came in and they spoke a little bit about him. You just realize what a great guy he was. Listen, last year when we had people inducted, it was more about how they were. Tommy Hodson spoke up there and actually started crying at his induction because it meant a lot to him to be represented in his home area.
Sure.
And he talked about growing up, and you're going, that's a good guy, you know, in his area. He was good for his area. Ron Este got up there, and he spoke, and you're like, that's a great guy. He was good for his area. And that's what's good about all of these people. They really promote where they're from. They're proud of where they're from. And they did our community extremely proud.
Wonderful. And before our first commercial break, when is the ceremony for that? I know it's going to be over at Cypress Columns. What's the date of the actual ceremony?
June 20th, which is a Thursday evening. Cocktails start at about 5:30. The actual ceremony or induction starts at 6 o'clock. There's a terrific meal that is served. If you are interested, you could go to tgmc.com/events. Again, that's tgmc.com/events, and you can find out all the information you need to find out. So if you and your wife or just a bunch of friends want to go to something that's really interesting and it's a nice night out, great meal, cocktails, everything that goes with it, check it out.
June 20 is a special day, Stan. That's my birthday, man.
Is it really?
Yeah, 32 on June 20.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so we'll maybe
God,
go.
32? I don't even remember 32.
I'm the next day, June 21st.
Is that right?
I'm going to be 33.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
On that note.
So how's this? I believe you, Casey. I don't know about that other stuff.
It's getting deep in here.
Well, add 30 to it.
Let's take our first commercial break when we get back. South LaFouche football coach Blake Forsythe. You're listening to the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 Radio.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Lauren here for Vision. We built a new house when our daughter arrived, and we made sure to include Home IQ in our plans. Being a mom is great, and I feel safe knowing that Vision has us covered with home security. The high-tech perks are great, too. Automated door locks, cameras, 24/7 surveillance, garage door control, thermostats, all accessible from my mobile phone. You don't need a new house to get the security you need for your family. Just call us. Watch and control your house with Home IQ. Smarter security from Vision. Louisiana license F1256.
Hi, I'm Brett Chesson, a certified athletic trainer and manager of Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that TGMC provides certified athletic trainers to high schools in Terrebonne Parish free of charge? The partnership between TGMC and all seven high schools in Terrebonne Parish allows student athletes to receive education, prevention, and care measures at school during practices and games. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. TGMC Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
What is hope? Hope to me was just that he would get to come home. I had no idea how hard it would be once he got back.
I wish she'd stop drinking so much. She thinks it's helping, but it's not. I hope she sees that soon.
I act like I don't care if he comes to my games. But I hope he does.
I used to hope he'd find happiness again. Now I hope our marriage makes it.
I hope Grandpa will get help. He thinks it's too late, but it's not.
With everything that he's going through, I hope he sees a counselor. I just want my brother back.
I hoped he'd get help. Stop hoping things would get better on their own. He told me to stop asking. I didn't. Then one day he asked for a ride.
Hope is knowing there are other families just like yours, that the veterans they love got help and recovered. Go to maketheconnection.net and turn hope into action.
Follow us on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA.
And welcome back to the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute here on ESPN 100.3 Radio. On the phone lines, we have South LaFouche football coach Blake Forsythe on the line. Coach Forsythe, good morning, man.
Hey, good morning, Casey. Good morning, Sam.
Hey, Blake.
Coach wrapped up spring practices, took on Chalmette. Give us a rundown of how your spring practices went for the Tarpons.
I think they went pretty well. We don't have huge numbers, but the guys we got really put together a good couple of weeks of practice. I thought we learned a lot. I thought we improved a lot, and I think we're really gelling as a team very well.
Coach, if you can, just a little bit about, you talked about numbers, and as I'm talking to all of the coaches in the area, I find there's no middle ground. Like, either a school has got, like, from 80 to 120 kids, which in the back of my mind, I'm going, okay, you got 80 to 120, but I'm not kind of sure what kind of players you got out there. Or you have teams that only have, like, 35. And that being the case, and listen, it's a lot lower for most of those teams. Just an opinion, what do you think it's about? What do you think why numbers are low in the spring and in the fall when football is getting kicked off now?
You know, I think there's just so many options for kids nowadays. You know, they live by their own time clock, and a lot of them just, they're coming every day and working out and having to be at practice every day. You know, football is just one of those sports where you don't get to play a lot. You're going to do easily 100 times the amount of work that you're ever going to get to play on the field when you take in off-season workouts, summer workouts, practicing 4 or 5 days a week and only have one game a week. I just think that there's so much other stuff kids can't buy in long enough to get to the results, to get to that fall season. You know, if a guy makes it through that fall season, a lot of times they're hooked. But there's so much to get through before you get to that. And I think that's, you know, where a lot of kids are losing it.
Coach, I got to give you this, man. In the spring, it looks like you guys were running that option a little bit cleaner than what you did last season. I know that you guys brought some experts and some gurus in to kind of tweak that up a little bit. Talk about how that sort of paid off for you in the spring.
You know, I think that was a big help. You know, I learned the option going back to my Edie White days when I was with Coach Lasang there in his first time. And, you know, I really thought that it could help. And we struggled last year. But it's a big change. You know, kids nowadays, most of these kids have never played in an under-center offense. You know, and there were some growing pains, and we dealt with some injuries. And, you know, so as we did more research this offseason, I got hooked up with a guy by the name of Dr. Lou Sella that goes around the country and helps fix triple option teams or teams that are going to for the first time. And so I've been working with him for the past 6-7 months, and he came down for 3 days while we were in spring practice and kind of really showed us the ropes. He learned the triple option from 3 or 4 Paul Johnson disciples himself. And, you know, I think it really paid off. We really only had 3 full days of practice running the offense after he left, but I thought it looked pretty good in the spring game.
Talk about the parts of the game that you feel best about when you head into fall, those things that – maybe the spring did it, or maybe it was the entire offseason throughout the spring. The part of the game that you feel best about and the part that you're thinking, man, we're going to have to get a whole lot better at this.
You know, right now, I would say I'm feeling really good about where we're at as a team, as a brotherhood in the locker room. The senior leadership, I really like the way that these guys have kind of grown during the offseason, how they're starting to kind of understand what we need in the locker room to be successful. I think that's the part I'm most proud of these guys for, taking a lot more ownership. The biggest thing that was a little disappointment from the spring game was kind of was some of the missed tackles. You know, we worked tackling every day. And look, for a lot of guys, that was a good 5A opponent, and a lot of them first time seeing the field, that's something that's easily corrected with a lot more repetition. So I think that's probably the one thing I'd like to see corrected.
Coach, talk about the youth that you're going to have out on the field. You know, last year you would come on and say, well, you know, we had a lot of sophomores. Well, a lot of folks don't know you also played a lot of freshmen last year, so you're going to have a lot of sophomores on the field again this year. Just talk about that challenge as a coach of staying patient through some of the youth that you're going to have.
You know, I find our young guys have matured very quickly, you know, from getting to practice with us every day. But, yeah, we had, you know, I think we had 5 or 6 sophomores start last year. We also had 2 or 3 freshmen that started several games for us last year. You know, so we're very, very young. As a whole, we have 11 seniors on the team out of about 52, 53 guys. So you figure over 80% of our team are juniors and sophomores in the fall. We're not upperclassmen heavy. And then we'll see what we get freshman-wise. You know, but they do a good job of understanding their limitations and asking for help when they need help. And I'm very proud of this group of seniors for kind of helping to bring along the young guys and kind of show them not only the offense and defense, but the way we do things and why we do things the way we do.
A lot of times, Blake, there are people out there, you know, they throw out, there's 3 phases of football, you know, offense, defense, and special teams. High school presents a special problem with special teams just from the number of coaches you may have and how you handle it. How do you handle it at South Lafourche as far as your special teams go?
Special teams, we've always had a special teams coordinator, but every coach has at least one special team that they work with full-time with our special teams coordinator. So we'll have 2 to 3 guys on each special teams unit working with them. We tell the kids that you don't get a break on special teams, you'll get a break on offense or defense. Special teams are more important to us than some people, and I think that's one thing that we didn't always do a great job of last season. We were very up and down on it, some games it was a huge factor for us, and some games it was a huge detriment. So special teams is one of the areas that we're really looking to improve on.
And, Coach, a rundown of the next couple of months here, what are some things you're trying to get accomplished here before you get the kids back for the start of school?
You know, the big thing, we've worked pretty hard on this season, getting more flexible, a little more agile. So we'll take this next week off, give the kids and coaches off, and start on June 3rd. We're at 6 a.m. Weights and running Monday through Thursday, and some Wednesday evening practices where we're going to really focus on those special teams. So I really want to see us develop, get a little stronger, put a little more weight on. But this time is also really great for your team to pull even tighter and really circle the wagon, so to speak. So that's what I'm looking forward to over the next couple months. And then, of course, you can't wait. It really is 8 weeks away until we get to really get started for fall ball.
I wish you the best of relaxation this summer, but I know that's a really silly statement because there is no relaxation, as you mentioned, what's going on in June. But I know it's always rejuvenating as the school year ends and you guys get to get ready for that new year. So go out and have a great summer.
Oh, yeah. I'm hooked up with the truck bed loaded down right now. I'm going to meet up with Coach Sullivan. We're heading out to go fishing. So.
Very good. Very good.
Sounds like a winner, brother. Tell Coach Sullivan we said hello and save a couple of fish for us in the water, man.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having us. Y'all have a great weekend.
Same to you, man. That is South Lafourche football coach Blake Forsythe joining us here on the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. And, you know, kind of touched on a little bit just a second ago, is those coaches don't really get a summer break.
No.
It is unbelievable the work that they put in and during the off hours. I know Coach Guitreau at South Lafourche was telling me, you know, you're watching film, you're meeting, you're creating your game plans for your schedule, and then that's in, on top of, you know, 7-on-7 drills and, you know, workouts and the work ethic, 6 a.m. workouts. It's unbelievable the work they put in.
No, it's nuts. And Andrew Coyote was explaining to me that he goes back in on July 11th. Well, considering we're starting June now, I mean, he's got a month off, and then in that month off, he's playing approximately 47 basketball games. So there is no break, and this is for all of the sports. This is across the board. You know, 30 years ago, you did kind of have a summer, you know, and now it's not that way. And if you want to stay competitive, you do it. You do what you have to do. And, again, there is a little grace time. I do understand that the collegiate coaches, it's now. You know, like Coach O was vacationing in California, and somebody had said that Coach Rebo was kind of taking a little time off now. This is their only time because they're about to get after it again. For high school coaches, it's usually around the 4th of July. It's that week of the 4th of July and maybe the week after. But then after that, you're back at it. So, yeah, there's no rest if you want to be competitive.
Yeah, it's crazy. You talked about the basketball schedule. Coaches tell me, you know, we play a season and a half worth of games over the summer. That's a lot of times where you see – that development for these teams, it happens over the summer.
Listen, the Bayou region has, ready for this, a baseball league, a softball mm-hmm. league, a girls soccer league, a boys soccer league, a boys basketball league. Well, actually two of them if you consider yep. that Ellender yep. does it and E.D. White does it, plus camps all over the countryside. Now the girls are being involved. Kathy Luke's having a big old camp that's going on over at Homa Christian. Football is playing 7-on-7. I'm missing something. Swim leagues are going on all over the place. So, yeah, there's no rest for the weary. You have to do it or you're going to get left behind.
If you're spending your summers playing Fortnite on the couch, somebody else is getting better. I guess it's sort of the moral of the story. But let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to have Pete Jenkins, longtime defensive line coach. He's going to talk to us about his football camp rolling through Thibodeau. And also give us a rundown of some of the things he's done and seen in his wonderful coaching career. You're listening to The Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
Oh, come on, make the move to Mazda. A Hi, folks. Chris Morales again with Barker Mazda. May is here, which means it's time for Barker Mazda's trade-up sales event. We have trade-up pricing on every new Mazda in stock, in addition to savings like these. Drive home a new 2018 Mazda 3 and get $3,500 off the MSRP. That's $3,500 off a brand-new 2018 Mazda 3. Do you like the $3,500 off but want the full-size Mazda 6? Done. Take $3,500 off the MSRP on any new 2018 Mazda 6 Sport or Touring model in stock. So you choose Mazda 3 or Mazda 6, $3,500 off the MSRP. What else could you ask for? How about complimentary maintenance for 2 years on every new Mazda purchase this month? Give us a call today at 1-800-256-2737 or visit us on the web at BarkerMazda.com. Barker Mazda, where the boss says, let them roll! Must take new retail delivery from dealer stock by 5/31/19. See dealer for complete details.
Come on, make the move to Mazda!
Listen up. Do you have an old mobile home? Get $10,000 for it in trade equity. Trade it. Remove it. Replace it. HOMA's best program. Call 985-872-2850 if that old trailer house has got to go. Only at HOMA's Clayton Homes. Remember, HOMA's best trade-in program. Call now, 985-872-2850, or check them out on Facebook. So get rid of that old mobile home and get $10,000 for it. HOMA's Clayton Homes.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Wingo.
Let's bring in our NBA analyst, Amin El-Hassan. A lot of people were, including us here, were saying, hey, what a great job Brad Stevens did last year, right, when he didn't have Kyrie down the stretch. At some point, they have to find a way to make it work because the talent is there. That they're better than the sum of their parts, right?
You'd hope so, right? The whole is better than the sum of parts. But right now, that's not what's happening. That's why basketball is in arithmetic. It's not 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. Like in the case of the Warriors, you've got all these different talents and egos, and you would say, oh, they must have severe chemistry problems, but they find a way through their style of play to get more out of it than just individual guys going one-on-one. Sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes you've got all this talent, but because it's either not complimentary or guys are not willing to accept the role. Because really, that's what it comes down to. Guys, A, understanding what their roles are, and then B, accepting those roles. And I think Boston has a little problem in both of those categories there.
Golic and Wingo, weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I got to work on the next. I see the future is really bright for me. I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
From the preps to the pros, we cover it all. ESPN New Orleans.
And welcome back to the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. We've reached out to Coach Pete Jenkins, got a voicemail. I'm sure he's going to get back to us here in the next couple of minutes. But the reason why we wanted to have Coach Jenkins on is big football camp coming to Thibodeau here. You got some dates and everything going on with that.
Yep, 22nd through 25th of June over at Nicholls State University. It's a Louisiana offensive defensive line camp, or the old D-line camp. Traditionally, everybody just knows it as the old D-line camp. And, of course, our good friend Coach Rod has a lot to do with that now. But Pete Jenkins was one of those guys in the early days who kind of got it together. And as an ex-football coach in the area on the high school level, I'm going to go out on a limb when I say this, because obviously I think the Manning passing academy is great. Those guys do a lot of technical and fundamental work for the skill position of quarterback. This camp is the best camp for football because I sit here, and Casey, I know you're tired of hearing it, and everybody that I speak to is tired of hearing it. Football starts up front. It's on the offensive and defensive line. It's everything. It's everything, folks. All of these guys who are playing 7-7 football all summer long, that's great. It's pretty to watch. It's the sexy part of football. But if they're playing 7-7 football with no offensive and defensive line, and in the fall it comes about, they're going to get smacked around back there. So, again, the old D-line camp that happens every year is awesome. It is a terrific camp where fundamental and technique are taught, and there's no messing around, and it's not a star-studded, we're going to take a picture here or there with you. This is a great camp.
So we go to the phone lines now, and we have longtime Coach Pete Jenkins on the line. Coach Jenkins, good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm well. I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing fine, Coach. We were here to talk about the football camp coming up here in a couple of weeks in Thibodaux, and you know, you've been part of this now for several years. What are some things that a young football player could see here when if they go on out to Thibodaux and learn from you guys?
Well, you know, the real mission of the camp is to help guys just simply be a better football player. We don't get into scheme. We don't get into how you do certain things at certain schools, how you play the double team, for instance, or how you play the kick out block. But what we really focus on defense is use of hands, great footwork, explosiveness of the hips and lower back, and tackling. We do a really, really good job. Our tackling station is phenomenal, I think. So we really are, we kind of an extension of the high school program, to be honest with you. We're not teaching them. And the other thing we don't do, and you've probably been told us, it's not an evaluation. We don't time them. We don't strength test them. It's not about that. The mission of the camp is just to be helpful young guys who want to be better high school football players.
Coach Jenkins, in a day and age where all of these high school kids are playing these 7-on-7 games during the summer, and it's about the skill position, obviously, and as an ex-high school coach, it always got lost what was happening on the offensive and defensive line. So when you guys came in and instilled this, it was huge. But I think now, you know, in 2019, it's even bigger because of those 7-on-7 type games where the line is lost. You guys offer something that is the key to football. It's everything. It's what happens up front. So it's huge, right?
Well, I think so. And today's football, as you know, I've seen the field get spread more. I've seen, fewer backs in the backfield, more receivers on the field. But what everybody has is 5 offensive linemen. I don't care what kind of spread or whatever. You got 5 offensive linemen who have to block. And on defense, you got 8 gaps up there, and you got 4 defensive linemen and linebackers. And the thing with the spread, what the spread has done, it's removed the linebackers from a comfortable position for all of us in the box. So really, truly, your linemen and your linebackers have become even more important in the running game because of the field being spread the way it is. I think technique has become more and more important. I really realize this. At my age, it's the thing that's kept me relevant in the game is because my area of the game, and I didn't have any idea it would turn out this way, but my area of the game is still very, very important in defensive football. The front 7 is still mighty important. I don't care how many guys they put receivers or spread or whatever. That's remained consistent throughout all these years.
Coach, if you would be remiss if we didn't ask you a little bit about some LSU football here. And look at the roster breakdown, and you're just talking about front 7s. LSU looks loaded up front this coming season. You've coached a lot of those guys. Talk about some of the talent that Coach O brings back there.
Yeah, I'm excited about this team through his recruiting efforts. And I don't have to tell you this, everybody, he is a powerless recruiter. and a very talented recruiter, along with being a tireless recruiter. But see, the way I perceive this team as compared to the others that Coach O has had, I think this is a more balanced team than he's put on the field. Number one, you start where you always start. He's got a good, very good, experienced quarterback. And that's a good place to start building a team. The other thing, like you say, I think the line of scrimmages on both sides of the ball are going to be terrific. You take Lawrence, Rasheed Lawrence. You take Glenn Logan. You take those type people, and they've been playing now for two or three years. I coached those guys in 17. They started for me. So what I'm saying to you is experience reigns. And I really think this is a well-balanced squad. And I look forward to make a deep run in the playoffs. I really do. I think they're a threat to win the West. And I'm really excited about this football team this year.
Well, you've obviously made us really happy here because we're in LaFouche. We're actually in the LaRose studio about a driver and a 7-iron away from where Coach O was born and raised. So, you know, we like to hear those things. I'm going to go back.
Well, let me tell you, he's really good at what he does. You know, I've believed in him for a long, long time. You know, I had a chance to go to Southern Cal and work for him when he was the interim out there. And, you know, thankfully they didn't hire him. It worked out better for all of us, but he really deserved that job. What that man did out there was phenomenal, and I think he's the right guy at LSU at the right time, and I think he's really got things moving in a great direction. So I'm pulling for him, and I'm really excited about it.
I'll get back to the camp a little bit coming up in June. I had the fortune to watch you guys put that on. I think, and I mentioned this to Casey before you actually came on air with us, for a football camp and all of the different kind of camps they have, whatever the sport may be, it is the most fundamental and technically sound camp I have ever seen. I think the kids reap the benefit of this like no other camps that are out there. You guys get after it. It's no nonsense. It's not like a bunch of kids go and take pictures with a bunch of stars and they don't do a whole lot in the camp.
No.
You guys really get after it. And I would venture to say it sort of has to be a labor of love. I realize that y'all were in a situation where, hey, do we continue this? Do we not continue it? But I am so happy that you guys decided to do this and to continue it. And I know Coach Rod has been integral in that and everybody else who has. So thank you guys for making sure that thing stays around this area.
Well, you know, somebody said to me, they said, you know, for the kids that come to that camp, stay in. Don't give up on this thing. And I thought about that. That's really why I went into it. It's really why I do it. I told Coach Saban one day, I said, you know, unlike some camps, we don't get the high-profile five-star guys. It's not that we don't want them, but they go to get discovered a lot. And I said, you know, we get kids who really and truly are dedicated and want to work hard to be good high school football players. And he looked at me and he kind of smiled and he said, yeah, I wish that was the ones I got because they're so much fun. You know, they come over, they work, and, you know, it's just a labor of love on our part to help those guys in every way we can. So I'm proud to be a part of it. I'm going to do it as long as I can do it. I'll be honest with you. Because I do absolutely love doing it. And those kids come over there boy, it's hot. You know how it is down there at that time of year and everything. But we don't hear any moaning or groaning. I mean, they just work. And we got a great, 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 I'm talking about great staff that comes in there. So there's a lot of knowledge and a lot of information and a lot of dedicated guys come in there to coach them. So we're very proud of it. And I thank you for saying the kind words about the camp.
Coach, you spent more than 50 years on the sidelines. Is it hard? Do you miss it a little bit? Just talk about the how retirement's been treating you, man.
Well, if my wife could hear you say retirement, she would bust out laughing. I tell you, you know, I have a January and February thing that I do where in January I work with college seniors and who are NFL hopeful guys. And then in February, they are joined by pro defensive linemen. So January is college guys, and February is pro and college guys. And I've had as many as 22. That was the best group I had, but quite, and which was actually a few too many. But I do that in January and February. And then what my life has become in March and April, I am lucky enough, and I really say that. I sometimes wonder why they do it, but people hire me to come in and just talk football with their staff. This year I did 5 universities and 1 pro team. So those are kind of hard in this. The work isn't hard. It's the commercial air travel, sitting in airports,
sure.
Missing, you know, flights being delayed, missing the connection. You know? But it's once I get there and once I, you know, sit down with college guys, defensive staffs, it's a lot of fun. So I've done that, and then we have a camp there that we're talking about down in Thibodaux. And then I have a pro camp, pre-camp, we call it, in Dallas, where I work with a pro defensive lab. And then I'm going to do summer camp, the preseason camp, at 2 universities. I usually stay 10 days at one of them and 5 days at the other. Now, when that's over in August, September, October, November, December, I'm retired. I mean, I'm retired. I don't do nothing. But so it's really fun. I get to do, you know, I get to do what I want to do. And it's kept me in the game of football. And it's kept me around young people. And listen, I have met so many great young coaches and everything. So, you know, it's been, I feel blessed. I feel so blessed to be able to have continued to stay in the game and work at it.
I have a friend that I actually coach with who, this, you know, the sun rises and sets with Coach Pete Jenkins. He actually worked for Jeff Boss over at LSU in the 80s. He was a manager there. Bob Schultz. And that guy.
Oh, yeah.
You remember?
Oh, Bobby was my manager.
Bobby was your guy, and he,
yeah,
over at South Terrebonne High School. Fortunate enough, Bob was our defensive line coach when we won a state championship there, and he says it's all because of you and what you taught
him. He was great. He really was. How's he doing?
He's doing great. He lives in Abita Springs, and he is doing great. Left South Terrebonne in the early 2000s, and he's about to retire, Coach. He's about done.
Is that right? If you have a chance to speak with him, please tell him hello and tell him to give me a call.
I will do that. I will do that.
He was a really great kid. And
very bright.
He was a great helper for me, too. He really was. So I hadn't heard from him in years, and I'm really glad he's done well.
Thank you. He's doing really well.
Yes.
Coach Jenkins, thanks so much for the time. Go enjoy the rest of your Saturday, my friend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. That is Coach Pete Jenkins. You don't pick this up from, you know, just hearing his voice and hearing him talk. That man is 77 years old, going all over the country and doing these wonderful things. I admire that energy and that enthusiasm. That's incredible.
Listen, and I just mentioned Bob Schultz, who I coach with. Everything he did on the defensive line, he said, it's me studying this guy doing this in the 80s. And Bob was just a manager at LSU for Jeff Boss back in those days. But that was his guy, Pete Jenkins. And that's when I was like, okay. And you know, people didn't hear about assistant coaches in those days for LSU. Orrin Sporga was the head coach, and he was everything. But Bob was like, this guy's great. So that's when I became a huge fan. And obviously, through the D-line camp, old D-line camp, it's actually been magnified. So I'm glad he's still coming back.
Troy State, North Alabama, South Carolina, Southern Miss, Oklahoma State, Florida, LSU, Mississippi State, Auburn, LSU again, Philadelphia Eagles, USC, LSU. Those are the places that man has been. He actually played at Western Carolina in the 60s. He's from Macon, Georgia. Unbelievable the career. And to, you know, kind of giggle, it's a tell my wife I'm retired. I don't know about all that.
Well, we're fortunate to have him coming back for the old D-line camp, and I encourage, look, if you want to be a good offensive or defensive lineman, go look it up. All you got to do is go to Google, type in Louisiana old D-line camp. You can find out information and register for that camp.
Joe, we have someone on the phone lines. Okay, Coach Rod's on the phone lines. Coach Rod, good morning, man. How you doing?
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good. I was cutting grass, and I made it in just in time to start listening to Pete, the Pete talk and everything. And thank y'all. I want to thank y'all for putting him on, and hope a lot of people heard his message. That's the biggest thing I really wanted to get him, his message about it's technique and fundamentals, and he coaches as hard as a kid, as a freshman that has no knowledge of the game. And every once in a while, we get some college guys that come in, and I don't know how many, if he told you how many the pro guys we had last year. You know, we had Nielsen from the Saints. We had Brendan Daly from the Patriots, who's going to the Chiefs, and we had two other guys from the Chiefs, and we had Bo Davis, who played at LSU and coached with Pete Around, and he's at the Detroit Lions. But the greatest thing about our camp is the high school coaches that are great high school coaches that work the camp. Y'all wouldn't believe how good these guys are that's going back to their high school and coaching, you know, our high school guys. It gives me the thrill about when I watch them work the drills and how efficient and how good. And they don't care who it is. It's just they're coaching a guy and making them better. And that's the whole mission of the camp.
Absolutely, Coach. And look, we're up against a break here, but we want to thank you so much for helping us line up Pete Jenkins. And one more time before we take our break, if anybody wants to sign up, what do they have to do?
LouisianaLineCamp.com, and you can get all the information that you need to get. Call me. My phone number's on the brochure. Just call me. I get calls from all over. We have 10 guys coming from Maryland. We got about 15 or 20 coming from Texas. And they're coming from all over. Jesuit's going to have in the 50s. Catholic High is going to have in the 50s. Vanderbilt is going to have in the 20s. E.D. White is going to have over 10 guys on the camp. This is the first time. Kyle is saying has busted his butt to make sure that, you know, his players get, you know, tuned up for the season. I really appreciate what Kyle has done, you know, this year since he's, become the new head coach at E.D. White.
Sounds like a winner, Coach. Enjoy your Saturday, my friend.
You got it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. That is Coach Rod helping us connect with Pete Jenkins. We thank him so much for that. Let's go ahead and take another commercial break when we get back.
You can go to the top of the hour, but can I pass something on to you?
Sure.
You and Stan, we spoke to a legend, and I just want to say this. You know, and Stan, listen, it was great to know that we had two listeners. Stan used to listen to us before, and thank you, Stan. But I'm big in New Orleans athletics, you know, high school in Baton Rouge, especially the private school. We just spoke to a legend. But Friday we lost a big legend,
yes,
Otis Washington out of St. Augustine. And I'm going back to 76, 77 in high school following St. Augustine. He passed away Friday at age 80 in the Louisiana Hall of Fame. 3 state championships, 2 co-championships in the time I was in high school. And winning as coach at St. Augustine, and a great human being, and sadly is going to be missed. 80 years old, died young, and great coach. Stan?
I think he missed out on another state championship too, guys. In those days, they used to flip a coin, and there were 2 teams in the Catholic League, and he mentioned his entire career, because I used to go to speaking engagements where he spoke, and he said, maybe my best team didn't even get in the playoffs because they flipped a coin. I think it was Holy Cross and Jesuit and he. And those 2 teams got to get in, and I think he would have won a 4th. And everybody, he was just a bit before my time when I got into coaching, but everybody I know, the older coaches I was around when I first started coaching, rave about him. And I agree, Joey. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, A coin flip?
Coin flip.
Coin flip. Oh, listen, in those days, there were all kind of things. It was first down.
First downs, I knew that.
Penetrations, did you know that one?
I didn't know that.
Penetrations was how deep you went, you know, if you crossed a 50-yard line. But again, in those days, it was first place and second place in your district, and that's all who got in, and it was a three-way tie. So what they did was they got out the old quarter. And he always said, I'm not a negative person, but I just felt like we were not going to win that coin toss. And sure enough, St. Augs left out. And can you imagine a team's left out and they're in all probability the best team in the state of Louisiana? That was like 74 somewhere in there.
I'm just trying to think, you know, now in the day and age of social media and everything, the outrage, if that were to happen today, there would be a lot of people
We flipped it now. In my opinion, anyway, with the LHSA, now we have way too many teams that are getting in. It's just it's a little watered down. But in those days, there needed to be a middle ground, and we just didn't have it.
Well, before your time, Casey, and I know Stan's going to remember, South Lafourche went to the state championship. We lost to Broadmoor, but we beat Jesuit because we had 11 first downs to their 10. So we got to move on to the next round. And you're not going to remember this, maybe, Casey, about 1975. It was between South Lafourche, St. James, and Hawnville to see who's going to go to the playoffs. After we defeated St. James, all three coaches came in the middle of the field. They flipped the coin. South Lafourche lost. Hawnville and St. James went. And to this day, every conspiracy theorist said it was a two-headed coin. But you know how that goes.
Sure.
That's how the game was decided.
Listen, 1991, a lot of people don't realize this. Sal Terrible won a state championship. Obviously, I was coaching there, so I know this story. We were tri-champions with Hawnville and Destrehan. We beat Destrehan. Destrehan beat Hawnville. Hawnville beat us. Then they figured out this elaborate point system, and thank God. And when I said thank God, Hawnville was sent out to Bugaloosa, and they lost in the first round. Because Hawnville had beat us pretty bad the week before. You got to be lucky. You got to have things work out for you. There's no easy system. But flipping a coin is not the way to solve the problem.
And it was great. Once again, Casey, thank you so much for having Coach Jenkins on. I think it would have been easier to say where he didn't coach or played. And also your take on Coach Otis Washington, who we lost Friday, and being in the Hall of Fame. And Coach Jenkins is going to be somewhere in the Hall of Fames also. I mean, this guy's fantastic, and it was an honor to hear him, and I thank y'all for having him on the show.
Absolutely, buddy. Let's go ahead and take our top of the hour commercial break. When we get back, we're going to start hour two. You're listening to The Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Out of this break, we'll have Justin Payne, new head coach of Georgia Southwestern State University.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
El Paso Mexican Grill in Raceland is well known for their authentic Mexican food and their cantina. Come and enjoy their daily lunch specials and happy hour from 3 till 7 with $2 ice cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas. Looking for the best party on the bayou? Well, that's El Paso's Grill and Cantina with a live mariachi band. El Paso Mexican Grill, the freshest food from our family to yours. El Paso Mexican Grill on Highway 1 in Raceland.
Here in South Louisiana, traditions matter. Whether it's community festivals or Sunday afternoon family gatherings, we value these regular occurrences as part of our fabric of life. At SL Bank, we're built on the traditions of true community banking, relationship-based, service-driven banking that embraces your financial goals as much as you do. Come see us today. SL Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender in La Rose, North La Rose, Golden Meadow, Cutoff, and Galliano.
Ride the world's largest inline water slide. Ride the world's largest razor slide. Ride the world's largest funnel slide at Blue Bayou.
Drag of the Giant.
Ride the world's largest dart bowl slide. Ride the world's largest sled slide. And ride the world's largest upside down water slide at Blue Bayou.
Drag of the Giant.
We are the South's largest water park. And get $5 off your day pass with any Coca-Cola product can. Blue Bayou is the
Drag of the Giants.
I-10 at the Highland Road exit, Baton Rouge.
Hi, I'm Brittany LaBeouf, a certified athletic trainer for Terrebonne General Medical Center's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that we've given over 4,000 baseline concussion tests to student-athletes in Terrebonne Parish at no charge? A baseline concussion test allows the athlete to get back to their sport in the safest manner possible. TGMC's certified athletic trainers supervise the return-to-play protocol at each high school once the physician releases the athlete back to activity. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Reminiscing on a Saturday morning, you're listening to the Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center's Community Sports Institute, with Casey Justclair and our own Stan Gravois.
And welcome back to Hour 2. You are listening to the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. In Hour 1, we had Coach Blake Forsythe and Pete Jenkins. If you want to, after this show is off the air, catch that, you could go to ESPN1003.com and catch all those interviews and the entire show. We go to Hour 2 and we make a trip to the great state of Georgia, where we have Justin Payne, the head women's basketball coach of Georgia Southwestern State University. And for folks who are not familiar, Coach Payne was also a longtime women's basketball assistant coach at Nicholls State University, which is why we're having him on. Coach Payne, good morning, man. How you doing?
Good morning. How you guys doing out there, man?
Great, brother. Hey, first off, congratulations on the new gig, man. Just tell us about some things that you're trying to get accomplished there at your new school, and how this process all come about.
Well, first of all, man, thank you. I really appreciate that. It's truly humbling, you know, just to be able to move on in my career, being a head coach now. And want to tell many thanks to Coach Doobie Plaisance, who I worked under for so long. I also want to thank some of my, you know, all of my former coaches, Coach Piper, Coach Johnson, and Coach David Patrick, who's now head coach at UC Riverside, Coach Johnson at Tulane now. And, of course, I want to thank Mike Leader, our athletic director at Georgia Southwestern, and, of course, our great president, Dr. Neil Weaver, also at Georgia Southwestern. Just a few things that we're trying to accomplish here, man, is just bringing that winning mentality that we got done at Nicholls, and want to bring it to Georgia Southwestern. An exciting brand of basketball and just a winning culture there, you know, on and off the court. How things came about, you know, we had success at Nicholls, won the first championship there, you know, had great recruiting classes. Also, another 20-win season this year. Dr. Neil Weaver was the vice president at Nicholls, which he is now the president at Georgia Southwestern. So he and the athletic director, Mike Leader, contacted me. And, you know, I was interested and, you know, went on from there, man. And then, you know, in a few short weeks after the season, I was named the head coach. And, you know, my wife and, you know, all my family, you know, I just got to thank them for their support and always believing in me. And, yeah, that's how it came about.
So I'm going to back up a little bit, Coach Payne.
Yeah, for sure.
Every time I talk to anybody about Nicholls State University in the past, and you talked about this new, you know, and I'm holding up my quotations, this new kind of regime with the Tim Rebos, you know, who's a really exciting guy. Of course, Doobie and everything she did there.
Your name
always came up. It was, man, Justin Payne is such an integral part of this. And then I don't even know if you remember this. We actually had Larry Wilson go into Stouffer Gym with Shelby Hippolyte to be interviewed.
I do remember.
And when we were in there, you wanted to hear. You wanted to see what was going on. You wanted to hear about Larry Wilson as one of those legends of Nicholls State University. And when I left, my impression was not only does everybody talk great about this guy, he is there to carry on this legacy at Nicholls. You're one of those guys. You're Tim Rebo has come back because that's where he wanted to be. And I was thinking, this is a colonel. This is a guy. And then all of a sudden I read the press release and you're going out to Georgia. And I'm like, well, and I realize, you know, Doobie plays on Cesare and you certainly respect everything she's done. But I got to tell you, it was a little bummer on our end because we were like, he's gone. Now, listen, we hope against hope that one day you're going to be in Thibodeau again. But all that being said, I realize you had to lean on your wife. You're an Opelousas guy from the get-go, so you're making this move to Georgia. Tell us a little bit about that area and what you found out about it since you've been there. And has this been obviously you're not going to tell us it was a horrible move. I wish I could go back. But has it been a really good move, and do you enjoy the area?
Yeah, so I'll go back with talking about Larry and, you know, I'm a former, player at Nicholls as well. And, just to see, you know, Larry and Shelby and just be, a part of, you know, the former men's basketball, team and just see our alumni flourish, you know, it means everything to me. I'm a colonel, you know, for life. You know, I played there, graduated there. I'm alumni, you know, now moving on to, the next one. The Americas, man, when we first got there, my wife and I, we drove down and we went on campus for the first interview session. And, I could not believe it. It was the same family atmosphere that we felt so greatly at Nicholls. So when we felt that family atmosphere, my wife looked at me and it's about, we started the visit about 7:30 a.m., and it's about 10:30, 11, and my wife looks at me, and she just smiles. And I knew it. I knew it from there. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be our next stop. You know, it was a family atmosphere. A beautiful campus, amazing campus. And, you know, just felt the family atmosphere from the athletic department, the admission staff, everyone that we met with, the coaches, from softball to baseball to soccer, golf, man, it was, everybody was so on board, men's basketball, and you could just tell it was family. So, everything's been well. We've been back and forth from Louisiana and Georgia, actually trying to make the move, selling our house here in Louisiana and finding a home there in America's Georgia.
Absolutely. And Coach, I always like to ask, first-time head coaches this question, but they always give me a different answer. What is that one thing that you've learned so far about being a head coach that as an assistant coach you realize, you know, I didn't even know that I had to do this?
let's see. That's a really good question. I was kind of close with Coach Doobie, so always kind of she kept me in the loop with everything that was pretty much going on. So thus far, I have not ran into anything that, you know, that I would be like, oh, I didn't know a head coach had to deal with this, you know. So I was the assistant head coach at Nicholls, so she kept me in the loop and just, you know, really taught me different things that, you know, head coaches do. So and just kept me real close. So nothing yet.
Well, brother, let me tell you, if it's been, you know, 3-4 weeks now and there's been nothing yet, you're blessed because you're ahead of the curve.
I appreciate it, my guy. It's definitely been a blessing.
T- Dallas, are your tentacles going to reach in here into South Louisiana a little bit? The Dominicans and the Vanderbilt Catholics and the Allender Memorials?
Most definitely. I definitely want to get back to Louisiana. And I know a lot of kids that, you know, would be grateful for the opportunity, you know. And I definitely want to reach back out to Louisiana and get some of those kids there, for sure.
Coach, tell us a little bit about the program you're inheriting. You know, folks in Louisiana don't know much about Georgia Southwestern State Women's Basketball. Is this a program that's historically been pretty good? Or just give us a rundown of the history of that program.
Yeah, so they not really had a winning culture yet. Made it to the tournament, I think, 2 years. Their conference tournament, I think, 2 years in their program's history. We look to change that. We want to make the conference tournament every year, you know, and so not much is really there. And, you know, if it was there, I probably wouldn't be there, you know. So but not much there. We're excited about getting it there the same way that we got Nichols women's basketball really rolling. And, you know, yeah, we're just excited about providing that winning culture to that fan base and to that university in Georgia Southwestern.
And Coach, I want to take you back a long time, man. It is whenever you were first starting at Nichols. It was after a ball game. I don't remember the exact season, but I remember myself, Summer Leslie, and you were in the parking lot. You guys had lost a ball game. It was something like 1-3 in conference. A slow start. And you looked at it and you said, look, we're going to get this thing turned around. One day we're going to win this doggone conference. Lo and behold, the next season, you guys go up to Katy and beat the number one team in the conference, Central Arkansas. Then 2 or 3 years after that, you guys win the league altogether. So just talk about that journey of you guys did something that no one believed was ever going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we just believed, man. And it started from the top with Coach Doobie. You know, she believed. So we all believe, you know, right there with her. I always believe that Nichols Athletics in general could be a winner. And it's the same belief that I want to bring and that I am bringing to Georgia Southwestern is that, you know, we can win here. I mean, the facilities are beautiful. Campus is beautiful. Family atmosphere. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? You know, so it was just the belief that we had. I know I played at Nichols, so I just had that belief. We won. We had 21 seasons. 21 season my senior year was the most in like 10 years. And I just knew what we can do here with just the belief. You know, you have your faith in God, and you just put it out there and let Him lead and guide you, and you continue to do the hard work, and nothing's unachievable.
I think I could speak for Casey when I say this. We're now going to go bookmark Georgia Southwestern women's basketball and keep up with you there. Is it the Hurricanes?
It is the Hurricanes. It is the Hurricanes. We the Storm.
All right. Yeah, I saw it was a Storm Dome or something that you guys actually play in.
Yeah, it's the Storm Dome, a beautiful facility. I cannot see if you're a student athlete not wanting to play in there. And, amazing facility.
Sounds like a winner, Coach.
I'm blessed. Yeah, I'm blessed.
Enjoy your Saturday, my friend. Thanks for spending some time with us.
No problem. Casey Stan, I appreciate you guys so much, man. Thanks for being able to put me out there, my family out there, our women's basketball program at Georgia Southwestern State out there. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you guys.
You got it, brother.
Good luck.
Thank you. God bless.
Justin Payne with Georgia Southwestern State University. It's still weird to say that. I want to introduce him always as Nichols State University Women's Basketball Assistant Coach, but he's got the new gig. He's going to do great things out there.
Yes, he is, and he's got a great personality. I do think, I'm just saying this now. I don't want to cause any controversy or anything. Mm-hmm. He's going to be back in Thibodeau one day. I just, in some way, form, or fashion, he's going to be back in Thibodeau.
You may be on to something, my friend. Let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to have Shane Trosclair with Thibodaux High School Baseball. You're listening to The Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 Radio.
Are you tired of waiting in the big box stores?
Customer needs assistance in appliances. Never mind. Customer wins. Lakeland to Rod's Superstore.
Spring is in the air at Rod's Superstore in Houma. Rod's is now an authorized Blaze barbecue grill and accessory dealer. With the Blaze limited lifetime warranty and a selection of grills, side burners, and flat top burners, along with refrigerators and outdoor island, will make any backyard a getaway. The heat is on, and Rod Superstore has Friedrich and Frigidaire window air conditioners from 5,000 to 36,000 BTUs to keep you cool this summer. Rod Superstore has home appliances by Frigidaire Pro, Sub-Zero, Wolf, KitchenMaid, Whirlpool, and Maytag. Refrigerators and freezers, ranges and dishwashers, washers and gas and electric dryers. All this and factory-trained in-house service for their customers only. Why not Rod Superstore? 808 Barrow Street in Houma.
Warm weather means baseball, but it also means swarming termites. Hi, I'm Nichols baseball coach Seth Thibodeau. When I want to strike out termites, I put the local experts Dan Foster and Billy Foster in the game. Terminex targets termites where they live and eliminates the colony. Call the local team at Terminex of Houma for a free inspection and quote on termite protection. It will be a home run.
Terminex is a proud supporter of Nichols Athletics.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Hi, I'm Brett Chasson, a certified athletic trainer and manager of Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that TGMC provides certified athletic trainers to high schools in Terrebonne Parish free of charge? The partnership between TGMC and all seven high schools in Terrebonne Parish allows student athletes to receive education, prevention, and care measures at school during practices and games. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. TGMC Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg. Keep it on 100.3 FM, your 24-hour sports station, ESPN New Orleans.
Welcome back to the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Casey Gisclair, Stan Gravois, Joey D., and to the phone lines we go. Thibodeau High School baseball coach Shane Trostclair on the line. Good morning, Coach. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Casey. Good morning, Stan.
Hey, Shane.
Coach, it was an interesting first season for you guys. Start off kind of hot, then kind of tapered off a little bit. I know that's not going to sit well with you, man. You're a very competitive dude. Talk about some things you're trying to get done here in the off season to fix that.
I think you hit the nail on the head. We did start off hot with 14-5, and then we lost a bunch as we went through the season. Tally it up to an inexperienced group that couldn't handle adversity the right way. Once we started piling on a couple of losses, they were fighting through their mental aspect of the game, and they just let it slide. And before you know it, before we started getting better towards the end, the season was pretty much over, but not necessarily a loss. I know we didn't make the playoffs, but a 16-18 finish, we doubled the win total from the year before. And I think we went out to the offseason on a positive note. Going to Central Lafourche and winning that last district game, and then finishing up at home on a Saturday against St. Charles Catholic, who just won a state championship, and losing to those guys 1-0. Went out into the tryout area, which we just got through with the summer tryouts. Next year's team, we had 53 people come out, and to get it better and to get our program where it needs to be, we're going to focus on adding some depth. We didn't have no depth last year in position players, but we got a good crop coming in. I get everybody coming back, so we look forward to the offseason.
Listen, your senior class coming back is good. I'm not sure that your junior class coming back next year, the guys that are going to be juniors, is even better. It's a really good cycle of kids that are coming in. You have to be excited, and you just mentioned that.
That's what I'm excited about. We have, our team captain, Kane Groves, going to be our catcher, to be a returning starter. He's a leader back there, and we got talent to help him out. Julian Kleber is going to come back and play the middle for us and be a big arm on the mound. Peyton Domain, second team all district pitcher, he's going to be back. Landon Trostclair, another returning guy, he's going to be back. Then you go to that next year's junior class where we had, Phillip Simmons, Landon Trostclair, and Spencer Boudreaux. who started a lot of games, if not every game for us last season. So they got a lot of at-bats under their belt, a lot of in-game reps under their belt. So it's going to be up to them to improve their strength and conditioning in the offseason to lead us to where we need to be.
Out of curiosity, and I'm sorry, Casey, I'm just seeing this. It's got to be kind of neat to have like Tyron on the roster because he went through something. Awesome. Yeah, he went through something with basketball, and you hope it doesn't matter how it happens. You kind of hope it rubs off just a little bit, right?
You know, Tyron Young, kind of a younger version. I say younger, but a year difference of a Kobe Johnson. He's a born again leader for our school. He's a leader on the football team. He's a leader on the basketball team. And he's a leader on the baseball team. And we got him back, you know, towards the back end of the season, obviously, maybe with 3 weeks left because they went on and won that state championship. And you can see towards the end of the season, you know, him really getting into baseball shape and catching up with the speed of the game as far as getting the baseball and being comfortable at the plate. And now he's all in. He's been texting me. He can't wait for Tuesday's first game. So I gave him a summer schedule, and I said, Tyron, I said, you tell me when you can be here. You got football, you got basketball, you got baseball. You tell me when you can be here and you'll be in the lineup. You say, Coach, I'm going to be at everything. Don't worry about it. So that's a foreign leader right there that wants to be here for his teammates, that wants to better the program. He's a kid that has bought all into the system that we're trying to implement.
Coach, looking at your schedule, you guys played a lot of 3-2 or 4-1 type ball games. Offensively, what do you have to do to try to consistently get those 6 or 7 runs on the board?
We got to be able to work the middle of the field, work away with 2 strikes. We got to be able to bunt the baseball better. Those guys were all full happy hitters last year. It was hard to break them out of that habit, even though they heard the lingo every year. I mean, every day they stay inside the baseball, work middle away. They still didn't understand what it was, and we were trying to fix it in season, fix it every day. But I think the more they hear it, they're going to try again in the summer. I think by the time we start back up February the 23rd or whatever it is, it's 2020. That it's just going to be a lot better for them. They're going to understand the hitting concept, understanding what to do with 2 strikes, put the ball in play, and become a better offensive player.
I'm going to throw this at you. I would imagine you would be a proud papa, so to speak. So they had the All-Star ball game, which, you know, we knew you couldn't make it. But right. You had one representative, Dre LaFleur, who was in this game. He's an outfielder, right, most of the time.
Right.
And
he played outfield for us, and he played some third base in that All-Star game. He loved it.
Yes, Simon says, yeah, we're going to put Dre LaFleur at third base because we just need somebody athletic, and they were short on people, obviously.
Right.
First shot of the game as a kid, I think it was Sean Pine, Casey, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken, a kid who's going to be playing at Delgado next year.
Yep.
Hits a rope down the third base line that actually is curving. It looks like it's going to be a triple. And he goes, get that thing, and he throws it across a diamond on a beat, and we're all going, oh, my goodness. And I thought to myself, Shane would have been proud of that particular play.
You know, I couldn't be there. I had my son. I was actually coaching a 12-year-old baseball game out in Live Oak.
It never stops, huh?
They don't stop, but, you know, in the off season, I got to get to as many games with my kids as possible. My wife can't do everything, even though she tries. My mother-in-law tries. You know, we got a lot of help, you know. But in that off season, if I can squeeze a weekend, I'm going to watch the game. And then, obviously, his coaches actually help coaches.
So, sure. Understood. The life of a coach. Unbelievable.
Oh, you know, the head coach is only as good as his wife, his assistant coach. And they're laughing behind me because I'm in a car on the way to New Orleans to spend the day for our friend's birthday, who's the wife of a St. James softball coach, Ben Ford. So he's driving. I'm in the passenger seat, and our wives are laughing in the back of hearing it. But you got to take care of the family in the off season, so when you're in season, you really don't have anything to worry about. So it was pretty good going coach that 12-year-old stuff, but it got to be to where it's kind of, hey, man, I know you struck out. Please don't cry. It's different. You got the grandmas yelling at you out of the field and whatnot. So,
I don't know. That's going to be.
I got updates throughout the game from Dre, and Dre came to see me the first day of summer tryouts. You know, for us with Dre, when I took the job and I saw him in the summer, when I got there at midsummer, then I saw him in the fall evaluation period, I told my staff that's going to be our third baseman. And I asked him, do you ever play third base? He said, no, sir, he never gave me a chance to. I said, well, you have the ability to play third base, and that's where you're going to practice all preseason. And that's what we did. We practiced him there all preseason. He just got beat out by a sophomore, you know, Landon Schoesler. So we put Dre back in the outfield, and offensively he struggled. But Jerry LaFleur is the hardest working kid I've ever been around. And towards the end of the season, he couldn't get out. And he just tempted himself in the lineup every day because it was hard to take him out the way he was squaring up baseball. So by that time, our infield defense was set. We knew we had a very good athlete out in right field, Dre, you know, and I knew he can go play third base. So when he told me, "Coach, man, you won't believe this. I played third base in an All-Star game." I said, "No, I believe it because you have the ability to do it. I'm proud of you." You know, so it was a good atmosphere, a good thing for him. He's actually going to play in a collegiate league out in Shreveport this summer.
Awesome.
He's trying to go on to Texas College in Tyler, Texas, and play some ball on the next level. So I'm very happy for him.
Awesome. And I'm just going to say this tongue in cheek, but you mentioned 12-year-olds. Hey, don't cry. It's okay. We getting to that stage in high school kids now. So, and again, you don't have to respond to that, Shane, but I did have to.
I can respond. The kids are too dang soft.
There you go. Thank you, sir. Thank you for saying it.
Man, it's baseball. You're going to get out. You know, why are you crying?
There's no crying in baseball.
I know my dad's going to yell at me on the ride home after I went 0-3 with three punches. I'm like, well, coach is not yelling at you. That dude's throwing 87 miles per hour. What's the thing? It's okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And coach, before we let you go, we talked to a bunch of coaches last weekend at the All-Star game, and their answers sort of varied about what their goals were for Swampland. Some of them said, you know, hey, we're trying to establish that winning culture, win a bunch of games. Others are, you know, hey, we're just trying to develop depth and build, you know, our arms up. Or what is Thibodaux High School's approach here for Swampland coming up in the coming weeks?
Well, our approach for the Swampland season is to win, because you can't learn how to win unless you don't win. I'm not one that says, you know, we're going to give little Johnny playing time so he can get some playing time. No, the only way to build a winning culture is to win. So it's the way to go out and do. I'm a competitor. You guys know that. I hate to lose. But at the same time, we open up Tuesday night at home against Berwick, who was in the state tournament, and I'm throwing four freshmen at that varsity. So I'm going to develop that depth while I'm trying to win a damn game. You know, so we're going to take that approach. So we need to develop depth. We got all our starters coming back. But we got nobody behind them last year. I think we had a really good crop of incoming freshmen, you know, come in. And we had 53 tryout. I ranked 1 through 53. And in the top 18, I had 7 freshmen. So we're going to throw those freshmen to the fire and teach them how to win games right away.
Yeah, it sounds like a winner, coach. Enjoy your time in New Orleans. Y'all stay safe and
have a
blast.
Y'all have a good Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for all the vets for everything that they do. And go Tigers.
You got it. That is Shane Trostclair with Thibodaux High School. People don't realize, you know, they see the 16-18 record, they see the missed opportunity to make the playoffs there. He took over a program that was winning 7-8 games a season. So to get to 16 in his first year was actually quite an accomplishment. I'm expecting much better things next year and year two. I think they'll do very well.
Yeah, they got out to a great start, and I think it was like 12-4 or 12-5 at one point. And a lot of people were like, great. And then when it started to, and I hate to use the term, go south, I think a lot of people thought, what's happening at Thibodaux? And I know my answer was nothing. This is, you know, there. I always say this about high schools. If you don't build a solid foundation and then work from that foundation up, it's going to be bad. You don't build a roof and then put the concrete underneath it. And I think that's what Coach Trostclair was doing. He says, we got to build from the ground up. It's great. I want to win every game we go out and play. Exactly what he said about Swampland ball. But sometimes you got to make a foundation, and that's what he was doing there this year. So let's see what happens in the future.
Coach Bado said this last Saturday, and I think it makes sense. He said this 5A district is like pitching to a cleanup hitter every single at-bat. He said, man, you don't have any easy outs.
No, no.
There's nowhere to turn. And when you're a young team that's searching and trying to find your way through a rut, and you're facing East St. John twice, and Hanville, and Destrehan, and Terrebonne, like, it's tough. It's a grind.
Even your weaker hitters put the ball in play, and that's what you always ask for in high school baseball. Put the ball in play. Put it between the white lines, and something can happen. I think as you go down in classification, and this is not across the board. I'm not throwing this wet blanket on everybody, and this is the way it is. But as you go down in classification, once you start getting to the 7, 8, 9 hole hitter, you have a little reprieve. You have somebody you can get to. When you play in Hornville and Destrehan, and listen, Hornville didn't even have a great year this year, but when you play in those teams, it's 1 through 9. They're going to put the ball in play, so you better pick the ball up and throw it over to first base and make a good play.
It's just so crazy. We're talking about a little bit Hornville. They start off 1-12, playing a murderer's row schedule. Then, oh, okay, district play starts. Yeah, we'll just go 9-3.
Yeah, let's just turn it. And that's the same thing. I'm glad you brought that up. You knew somewhere along the line. I'm not, you know, I don't think that it was a light bulb that went on. You knew Hornville wasn't that bad. The same thing with Thibodeau. And you knew Thibodeau, this is going to sound awful, but wasn't that good to be, you know, 12-4 at that time. Yeah. You knew that.
Leveled out.
It levels out. And everything levels out, and that's the way it goes. One thing you could always count on is Destrahan's going to have somebody who can throw the ball really well, just like that guy who's at LSU who, you know, pitches for the Tigers. They're going to have that guy, and it's always something. And don't ever pass on at East St. John in baseball. I mean, heck, in the 90s, they were the best program in the state of Louisiana, and they still have those guys who can do it. So, again, you're sitting there at Central or you're sitting there at HL, Terrebonne, whatever, and you're going, oh, my goodness, this is really tough. You know, week in and week out, it's always tough.
No doubt about that. Let's go ahead and steal another commercial break. You're listening to The Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Out of this break, we'll have Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill. His Tigers are fresh off of a very, very good season last fall, and they're looking to put it back together again this fall here on ESPN 100.3 Radio.
The changing of sunlight.
Are you ready to test drive the 2019 Jeep Cherokee Latitude? This Jeep is as hungry for adventure as you are. You can drive one off the lot at Southland Dodge, Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat at their Jeep Celebration event with $5,702 off MSRP. So stop in today at Southland Dodge, Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. CCAP bonus must finance with Chrysler Financial. Non-prime must have Beacon score of 620 or less. LD truck owner loyalty must own an LD pickup.
If you or someone you know is injured in a car accident, call the Gavery Law Group. It's important to have an advocate in your corner. Car accidents are some of the most frequent causes of personal injury. At the Gavery Law Group, they know how to deal with insurance companies to get you the maximum compensation. Protecting your rights is their first priority, and they won't let an insurance company pressure you into accepting less compensation than you deserve. Get Gavery Law Group and get results at 985-223-4400 or follow them on Facebook.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. Once more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
You have a pest control problem? Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bed bugs, mice and rats, or any other pest control needs you may have. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies. Call 985-475-3314. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies.
The Eastern Conference Finals. The home team prevails once again as the Bucks win Game 5 in Milwaukee.
Giannis head of steam goes by Siakam. Another flush.
Now it's back to Toronto. Can the Raptors keep the home court streak alive? Or are the Bucks heading to the NBA Finals? Coverage of Game 6 begins Saturday at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Presented by Indeed.
Southeast Louisiana sports leader. ESPN New Orleans.
This is one of my favorites here, Joey.
Is this something about Mary?
No, I just like the song. I do like the movie, too.
Oh, okay.
You're listening to The Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 Radio. To the phone lines we go, we have Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill on the line. Good morning, Coach Hill. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Y'all just brought back like some late college year memorabilia in my
You're
mind.
You're not that there. Old. You're not that old.
Something about Mary was when I was in school.
Oh, yeah, something about Mary. You're right. So I got it before Casey throws his first question. Are you sitting in a boat right now, or are you sitting at your house or at Terrebonne?
I'm actually in Terrebonne Parish at my house right now.
Okay, okay.
Coach, just got done with spring, and it looked like you guys went and played a very competitive game against McDonough 35, a game that actually wasn't on your schedule originally. Talk about how spring practices went for the Tigers.
Spring practice went real well for us. I thought we did a good job, and we had to make a very fast adjustment. You know, we were scheduled to play St. Charles, and our format with them was kind of the same as far as the way the game would be played, as far as moving the football and getting defense and offense off the field. But we've always done something with coaches on the field with them, and I thought that was going to be important for us to be able to do. And that was kind of the way it was set up when we decided to kind of fill in for Wassman that dropped out of the Battle of New Orleans at St. James, and us to pick up that late game. But when we got there, things kind of changed, and we had to make an adjustment and go from the sideline. And I thought our defense did a great job adapting to that change. And then offensively, we just so green up front. I knew that wasn't going to be a good thing for us. And, you know, going back and watching the film, it was a lot of little things that need to be corrected, but probably could have been coached up a little bit better during the huddle time, or if you were on the field then having 40 seconds to snap the next football with a rule change on how the play clock's going to go. But overall, I thought we moved the ball okay facing that. Just wish we would get into the end zone a little bit more. And
St. Charles,
you know,
Catholic,
it was just a good time.
That St. Charles Catholic deal was primarily because they were in the finals of baseball, that you couldn't play them in the spring?
Yeah, they making the finals like they did, and with a weather adjustment due to the weather that was in Sulphur at the time, they only got into practice basically five of their days, and they had gone over there for the previous Thursday and ended up getting delayed into the following Tuesday. So there was no way they could have came back and played a game against us with only having one day of practice, and they weren't sure they would get back to Wednesday morning at that, with the banquet being after the game and all of that. So, you know, Coach Monica and us on good terms went ahead and decided to cancel the game, and then an opportunity came up for our kids to get to play. So we took it. You know, you spend 8-9 days working on a odd front, and then all of a sudden you see an even front, and it's just a tough change for those green linemen up front.
Coach, I follow you guys on Twitter, and it's crazy to me. It's almost like the Price is Right, where you spin a wheel and you know, you get whatever it is. So you guys have been spinning a wheel, and whatever college comes up, that's who's watching your practices on any given day. I mean, has it been weird to, you know, look to your right and see, hey, that guy's from Alabama, or to your left, hey, that guy's from Miami or from LSU? Or it's just been unbelievable, hasn't it?
Oh, it definitely was a great change for us as coaches. Because, you know, the motivation of the kids is now in front of their face. So it kind of changed the aspect of practice as far as keeping a pace and going into certain drills and things like that. You know, the leadership of the team definitely shows up when other eyes are out there, and it's just not your normal day compared to our past seasons. And, you know, you look around and all these college coaches are coming by, and you know, they're all really good guys, too. They're coaches. They're humans. They're people. And they take interest in just seeing different practices and seeing how different coaches do certain drills. And they show up to watch one or two kids, and then they end up, well, I kind of like that kid and this kid, and that kid works hard. And that doesn't mean that they want to take them, but it's kind of nice for them to recognize the kids that say don't fit that Power 5 billing, but they really respect the way they practice or the way they play. And they go and talk to the coaches and just get little nuances of what they're trying to do, and really try to make it social to them so that we know who they are as people. And that way, when they recruit the kids, we have an understanding of who they would be going to.
Obviously, they're there to look at, you know, incoming junior Mason Smith and senior Ja'Kai Douglas. I have to ask this question. Is Ja'Kai going to wear, like, zero this year?
It's possible. It's just something he wanted to do, so... You know, it might be a possibility.
I'm trying to think back, Gary, the last time I saw a zero, which I think is actually kind of cool. But, you know, we saw him in the spring wearing it, and I was like, I wonder if that's going to be his permanent jersey number. And I'm going back to, like, Otto Graham or something way back in the day with the number zero.
I remember Tulane one year had a double zero, I want to say, back when I was in high school, a defensive player. So I'm not real sure on, you know, who's ever worn zero or double zero and things like that. I know it's been done before, and it's just one of those things that, you know, if it's capable of happening, we might go ahead and let him do it. But he also understands that he could fall back and do his other number and go from there. But, you know, he's just been a really good kid throughout the process. And, you know, he got out of school and then, you know, like yesterday, there's a camp at Denham Springs, and he wasn't at that one, but, you know, it's already started. These kids got out of school, and immediately they're having to hit the road and go to camps and do different things and try and prove themselves against different competition. And I know there's just guys all over the state trying out and get their name out there. And that's what recruiting's become now is, you know, these coaches want to see them in camp and just see how coachable they are when they work with them. And that's what it's kind of coming down to.
That was the next question I was going to ask is, now you move to a point in the season where you're going to be sharing with these camps, sharing with your basketball program, sharing with Swampland. Just talk about the balancing act of trying to make sure they get some work in, but also allowing them to do their other sports as well.
It's getting tougher. It really is, you know, because it was one thing when you shared with amongst your high school, but now you're having to share amongst the colleges, and you're having to share amongst some of the seven-on-seven leagues that go around during the spring that are trying to finish up in early to mid-June. And, you know, it's kind of tough to tell a kid that you can't go out and compete against better competition. You can only go against the guys we have when you know they can better themselves at other moments. And then it'll maybe open up a few doors for them as well. So it's just a balancing act, you know. And the way the NCAA wrote the rules, you know, it's kind of like they had to do everything right when you're ready to get started. So it just kind of changes the dynamic of building your team and putting teamwork together when you're getting ready to go. And meanwhile, this kid's on an unofficial visit, or these two kids went to this camp because they were requested to by this coach. And if they don't go to that camp, their chances of having any more interest shown in them actually decline. And, you know, they pretty much tell them, for you to come to us and possibly get an offer, you need to be at this camp and those kind of things. So it's really hard to police, you know, and then you got to work with your own coaches in your own school. You know, I'm sure those schools that have 2,500 or 1,800 or 2,000 have a little bit of less of the two and three sport guys, but we're a school of 1,150 and we got a bunch of two and three sport guys. And it may not be just basketball. It may not be just baseball. We've also got those cross-country runners and those track and also the swimming kids that are trying to participate. So you just got to kind of, hey, when are you working? When are you working? All right, you need to make sure you're taking in enough calories throughout the day to handle the workload you're putting yourself under. And then you just got to be smart about it, you know. If you're working out with football every morning, then you're probably not going to, say, the basketball lifting session, but you're there for practice, as long as you were at the football lifting session getting your work in, you know, because we don't really make them do a certain workout for each sport. We just kind of do an athletic building workout, which is what benefits our kids across all the programs.
A little bit about obviously being in 5A football and 7-5A, which is one of the better districts in the state of Louisiana. Are you happy with your numbers right now overall as far as depth goes, the number of kids you had that actually were with you in the spring?
That's a tough one. You know, there's a lot of people out there that say you need to beat the trees and get in the halls and get kids out, and you can get your numbers up to 100, 120. But you could be like us right now where our numbers are sitting at about 65, and then you add our freshmen to it, and we only have one feeder school. And then we have to worry about some of that feeder school disseminate to other schools amongst the parish. So there's seven schools in the parish playing football. So, and then it's seventh and eighth grade at that. So you may not even get, you know, your 25 freshmen every year. But right now, I'd say that I was happy with our freshman class coming in with the numbers we had in there. And then as far as our numbers for varsity, all our guys that are returning, you know, we just never have a whole lot of built-up depth where kids just aren't green. You know, we don't have that type of numbers in the system to make that happen. But, you know, you talk about getting in the halls and getting kids out and stuff like that. Well, you know, times have kind of changed. You know, it's one thing to get kids out there, but sometimes they only come for 2 days and then you don't see them again. And you got to go find them in the halls and they're like, it wasn't for me. and you know you're having to go find that. And we still go out there and we still try to promote kids to come out, but you know, it's not the same as it used to be back when I first started, where when you got a kid to come out, you knew he would at least stay for the whole season. Now you get a kid to come out and they may disappear on you, or they just go out for one day and realize, man, it's hot out there. I don't want to be out there no more.
Right.
And the other thing is, you know, in this day and age, everybody's wanting instant gratification. So getting kids to go through the process is getting tougher of learning as a freshman, learning as a JV player, and then being able to play varsity. You know, it's kind of getting tougher for them to go through that process and sticking with it. And I think colleges are starting to find that out with the transfer portal and how some of them went to school as early enrollees and are already seeking to transfer for August. You know, I mean, there's a process to all of this, and that always has to be remembered. And I think that's the one thing we're starting to lose as coaches and players and parents over the thing, is the process needs to be followed for these kids to actually get to where they're going to go and be successful.
Coach, thanks so much for the time, and we'll catch up soon, my man.
All right, well, thank y'all, and y'all enjoy the summer, and maybe y'all catch a few fish too.
Absolutely, brother. That sounds like a plan.
All right.
Yes, sir. That is Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm going to sort of tip my hand a little bit. This week in the Times coming up, we will have a story on why high school football numbers are down. And no one has said the C word. No one is saying concussions or anything to do with this. They're saying kids are just lazy. Interesting.
You know, as you say that, I'm looking at the ceiling thinking to myself, about concussions, and Joey's looking at me like I'm crazy.
No, that's a concussion when you start staring at the ceiling.
This morning I went to a little workshop, and part of that was concussions. I'm going to tell you that I don't think just the feedback I get from coaches, and my daily job is to go around seeing coaches, I don't get the feedback that it is concussions anymore. Now, don't get me wrong. Five years ago, following up on the NFL, it was. But as time is going on, it is, and I got to give him kudos, Shane Trosclair hit it on the head. No, the kids are soft.
Yes.
He just said it. And to a certain degree, again, I hate doing this because it sounds like we're throwing all kids under the same, you know, umbrella of being soft, and it's not. And I don't think you have to be hardcore to play a certain sport, but on the other hand, we are a society that has grown up electronically. I mean, my job a lot of the time is sitting in front of a computer, so I get it. But, man, no, I got to agree, Casey. Concussions and you not hearing about that from a lot of these guys is not the overwhelming factor.
You know, I was actually watching Vince McMahon, of all people, give a press conference about the XFL, and he was sort of asked that question of numbers in the sport at the youth levels going down, and his answer was, everything in life that occupies any second of time is your competition to playing a sport. He said, sleep is competition. Playing on your iPhone is competition. Video games are competition. And there's just so many other ways that these kids occupy their time other than being in 100-degree heat and getting beat on.
Listen, I'll go back to when Joey and I were in high school. You're talking about football, basketball, track and field, and baseball.
Not anymore.
You have golf, you have soccer, and this is all boys and girls. And,
yeah.
And I got to tell you, when I first started high school, some of the sports didn't have the girls' sport attached to it. You, everything, tennis, you go down the line, swimming, wrestling is right around the corner, powerlifting, and you just have more choices. That's only in the high school. You have a lot more choices outside of high school of what you could be doing. That's why I'm sitting here, to be honest with you, not to go on a soapbox or anything.
Yeah.
It's about high school kids doing something positive now. They are doing things that are positive. And if we can any way, shape, or form promote these kids who are doing something positive in their schools, we need to do it. And that's what they're doing.
There's no doubt about
it. I love ping pong. Want to be all state.
It won't be long. Cheerleading. No. And actually, South Lafourche High School's cheerleaders and Vanderbilt's cheerleaders
are great, top notch.
They always do well. It's everything. Gymnastics. It's the whole gamut.
One more commercial break. You're listening to the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute, right here on ESPN 100.3 Radio.
Hey, Mr. Terrebonne. start your summer off by saving a whole lot of cash on a new Mitsubishi during the summer kickoff sales event at Barker Mitsubishi. Drive home in the new 2018 Eclipse Cross and take $4,500 off the MSRP. Or jump into a new 2000 Outlander Sport and take $4,000 off the MSRP. Oh, you want a little bit more? Right now you can take off the $5,000 off the MSRP when you choose a new 2000 Outlander SEL with seating for seven, Apple CarPlay, and leather seats. Now that's how we roll during the summer kickoff sales event at Barker Mitsubishi. With $4,500 off new Eclipse Crosses, $4,000 off new Outlander Sports, and $5,000 off new Outlander SELs. Plus, all these new Mitsubishis come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So come save during the summer kickoff sales event only at Barker Mitsubishi in Houma, or shop online at BarkerMitsubishi.com. Come see me, people, and remember that strength and laughter.
APK-T-129, MSRP-2438. You're not dealing with this. 2000 factory rebate, type of 19-T-0-cigarette, MSRP-23820. 2000 deal with this. 1000 factory rebate, 19-T-0-55, MSRP-30910. 2000 deal with this. 2000 factory rebate, CTNL, TDL for detail. Martinez Suits Evolution and IMIEV. It's May 30th, 2019.
Napa Know How.
Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, Marine, and Industrial Supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' five locations, Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa Know How.
Terrio, Douay, and Terrio, more than just an insurance company, they're marine insurance specialists. Whether it's fishing boats, cabin cruisers, sailboats, or marine industry, you can trust Terrio, Douay, and Terrio to get you the coverage you need at a price you deserve for your home, your auto, life, fire, and health. They've been taking care of people since 1957. Call Terrio, Douay, and Terrio at 475-5126. Just ask for Lynn Pierce or David O. along Bayou Lafourche in Golden Meadow.
Miss an interview? Visit the Audio Vault at ESPN1003.com.
Give me a head with hair, long, beautiful hair, shining, gleaming.
How's it going out to me, Casey, Stan?
There's not much of that here in this studio.
That's why I played it.
To the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Stan, you and I have talked about LSU baseball here over the last couple of weeks, and my opinion has always sort of been, every time I want to believe in this team, they let me down with about six straight losses. I want to believe in this team, Stan, but now they're taking on the number one team in the country
today. You can't be disappointed today, though.
Yeah.
You know, Vanderbilt's got their pitching already in a row, you know, ready to play this game, and there's a good chance that LSU will have the manager and the athletic trainer and maybe the bullpen catcher throwing today in this game.
Devin Fontenot starting the game. That's the guy who was your closer, so that'll tell you what we're looking at.
I think it's a situation where we can't be disappointed at what happened in the SEC tournament. Obviously, that Auburn game, you just sit back and you smile. Then last night, you're going, oh, my goodness, here's J.J. Jen, who is one of the best pitchers, in the SEC for Mississippi State, and you're going, God, after the first two innings, this might be bad. And then it's a 10-run rule game. I cannot figure it out. I'll give credit to Paul Maneri after the game. He says, man, if you're sitting around trying to figure this all out, you're wasting your time. I've seen so much that nothing will surprise me. And that's what happened yesterday. I know this. I'm going to be sipping on a margarita, watching them play at 4 o'clock this afternoon and hoping for the best. Only because I would love to see them get that guarantee of playing at Box, at Alex Box, and this might do it. Although I do believe they're going to be there.
Yeah, I think they're in. But
Yeah, but you did that, but I stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning a coffee.
I didn't do that day.
I did.
For all of you LSU fans that are hardcore and you stayed up till 3 o'clock, kudos. Obviously, I want them to win, but I didn't stay that late. That's nuts. That's crazy.
What time you went to bed, Casey?
Well, you guys got to understand, on a normal night, yes, I go to bed at 1:30.
Somebody told me that would be normal for you. So
I stayed up for almost all of it. I went to bed in about the 16th inning. It was about 2:30, 2:45-ish. But that's routine. That's par for the course.
And listen, that was a huge game because if you win that one at that time, that's what everybody was saying. You're going to be sitting in really good shape. But, of course, that Auburn win was big, and just come back and pound in Mississippi State last night. I don't know. I will say this about the state of Louisiana. I'm a little disappointed. I could remember 10 years ago We were the state in baseball. I mean, obviously, per capita, and California plays good baseball. Even Texas wasn't all like great in all of the sports, in all of the baseball programs. But obviously, LSU was premier. And in those days, you had Tulane and UL Lafayette who were around, you know, and maybe could make a run at a regional and maybe get into a super regional. And then you had Southeastern really come on strong for a few years. Well, I got to tell you, it's LSU a bust now because there's nothing else. And that's a little disappointing because I do enjoy watching all of our state schools.
Follow a lot of Tulane fans on social media. They're talking that their baseball coach may not be back. It's only been three seasons, so curious to see how that thing shakes out. But you're right, it has been very down
and
here in the last
And it's
years.
Weird. Everybody reveres Tony Robichaux over at UL Lafayette, and I do too. I think he's a terrific guy, but it hadn't been good the last couple of years. And I don't think that has anything necessarily to do with LSU's getting all of the great players. It's that everybody's playing better baseball now. There are a lot of programs, you know, baseball was a kind of a hind thought way back when, and now everybody wants to do well at it, so everybody does do well at it, and unfortunately it's not so good for us. I do wish Louisiana had a better junior college program.
Yeah.
And we don't, and it's getting there. You know, Nunez is around now. The Pelicans, Joey didn't hit it with us last week on the Pelicans. I'm sorry.
No.
Got to give credit to Bubba Ogeron on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But Nunez, Delgado, you know, LSU Eunice is always good. But when you go to Mississippi and you see that, you know, every little town you go through has a JUCO program and stuff, it's a little bit different.
I want to bounce this off of you guys. Is that I was doing a little research onto who's going to host, who's not going to host. There's one of the little schools out in California that has said, if we host a regional, we're bringing it to Vegas. And one of the projections that I saw had LSU going to the Las Vegas regional. Can y'all imagine the ruckus that LSU fans would make in a regional in Las Vegas, Nevada? That would be incredible.
You know, I'm going to piggyback on that because as you're watching the SEC tournament in Hoover, Alabama, and you're watching them play Mississippi State, who's really right down Highway 82 from Hoover in Birmingham, and you're hearing the LSU chants, and you see the purple and gold in the stands. I can't imagine how a young man who's 18 years old, 17 years old maybe, playing high school baseball at a top level is looking at the SEC tournament and going, wow, look at the people who follow LSU. It's really amazing. And, yes, it would be purple and gold in Vegas. As a matter of fact, I would actually look at flights if they were playing in Vegas just to see, and maybe, who knows, y'all would be on the phone with me next Saturday morning from Vegas. That would be awesome.
You see Santa Barbara is the school they would look to play at Las Vegas Ballpark, which is the home of the Las Vegas Aviators, a AAA club in the Pacific Coast League. That would be some fun.
By the way, mascot of UCU Santa Barbara is the banana slugs. Unbelievable. Yeah. I just thought that, I don't know many, but
I love the mascot.
Yeah. And they would go to Vegas. I didn't realize that. That's awesome.
Apparently their park is real small, and yeah, let's just make a party out of it. I tell you, one trip I've always wanted to make is to Hoover because that park is really neat, and I would love to go on out there one time and spend a weekend. LSU always plays well, but on top of that, I mean, you could argue that the SEC tournament has some of the most talent of any tournament, including the College World Series some years.
Listen, Derek Jeter was sitting up there the other day. He's not there for nothing. He knows that there's some guys who can play. I would love to go to Hoover and obviously Omaha. I've never been, but I would have wanted to go to Omaha when it was old Rosenblatt.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't have the same allure for me now.
Yeah, I hear you. So we want to thank all of our coaches for joining us today, Coach Blake Forsythe, Coach Gary Hill, Coach Justin Payne, Coach Shane Trostclair, and of course, Coach Pete Jenkins for spending some time with us. We had a wonderful morning. We hope you guys have done the same. And also, before we sign off, I want to give a kudos to all the wonderful young men and women in our area who have graduated in the last week or so. Congratulations
to
you all.
Congrats.
And please have best of luck in whatever it is that you're doing out of high school. You guys are our next leaders in the community, so please do us well. And congratulations on your big accomplishment. And also to all the veterans who have served, thank you so much for your service on this Memorial Day weekend.
So I'll make y'all all happy. 3 months sounds like a long time. This sounds better. 90 days till LSU football kickoff. Sounds better, 90 days, huh?
It does. It's right around the corner. Don't blink. It's here.
No doubt about it. You guys have a wonderful weekend. You've been listening to the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute.